This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This next piece is about the Huntington Theater Company's new staging of Leonard Bernstein's classic operetta, Candide. But before I get to the interview, I just wanted to share this with you. It's from a YouTube video of Bernstein conducting the London Symphony Orchestra through the Candide Overture. It is glorious to watch. Bernstein's practically bursting with joy at the podium. And why shouldn't he be? Critics have thrown just about every superlative possible at Bernstein's 1956 score. His grandest, wittiest, most sophisticated, most magnificent theater score ever, they say. The show, however, was a complete flop. Okay, so just a little bit more of Bernstein. Oh, the music is so wonderful. Anyway, so here's where the Huntington Theater Company comes in. The company is staging a new production of Candide. The operetta has been restaged and reworked again and again over time, but this one is different. This one has a book written by Mary Zimmerman. Zimmerman is a Chicago-based Tony Award-winning playwright and director. Her adaptations of The Odyssey, Arabian Nights, and Metamorphoses have proven her to be a writer of sufficient intelligence and whimsy to enliven even the dustiest of classics.
You know, they're the texts of my childhood, and for some reason I've never given them up. You know, I like voyages, sea voyages, and the idea of foreign travel and going different places.
I recently visited Zimmerman right before rehearsals for Candide. She wears big, round glasses and has sprightly red hair, which kind of gives her a Sybil Trelawney look from the Harry Potter series, but she's nowhere near as spacey. However, Zimmerman is a professor of divination of sorts. Here's a woman who went back to Voltaire's original text, or the earliest English translations of Candide, to divine exactly what the French satirist was really trying to get at.
You know, it's a pleasure to be able to talk with you here in the rehearsal space.
Yes.
For the Huntington Theater Company. I'd love to know, this is a question I know you've been asked many a time, but what is it about these sort of old classic epic text that really attracts you? I used very old translations. I used translations that were made 4 years after it was in print because it was a very popular text. It was translated right away.
Often, so we're talking 18th century translation.
Yeah, 1763 or something like that is my major translation I used. And I had to get used to all the little S's that looked like F's and things like that. But there's tremendous wit and irony. It's the constant irony. And I actually think that people sometimes comment that Bernstein's music is just too beautiful for this text. You know, that it's just so gorgeous and so rich and so beautiful and sort of sincere musically in certain
ways.
Whereas the novel is always
satire, yeah.
Satirical and pretty savage at times. But the lyrics of the musical have that wit and that irony at all times. And there is musical irony as well. Glitter and Be Gay is a kind of mock aria, making fun of damsels, fallen women, arias in opera and so forth. But I think that lyrically, it's absolutely in keeping with the ironic quality of the novel.
And yet, of course, I rather like to revel. I have no strong objection to champagne. My wardrobe is expensive as the devil. Perhaps it is ignoble to complain.
How would you describe the synopsis of Candide?
Candide is a story about a young man who's actually illegitimate growing up in a rich palace in Westphalia, and he is taught by his tutor that we live in the best of all possible worlds and that everything's for the best and all as it is intended. And
this is Dr. Pangloss.
Dr. Pangloss, and it's all part of a divine plan that's impenetrable to us. Well, and then he's put through a series of rather terrible adventures that satirize that idea that all is for the best. He comes across random violence and war and being cheated and swindled, all the while trying to maintain his stance of what he was taught, that it's the best of all possible worlds.
Mankind is one, all men are brothers.
As you have done, do unto others.
It's understood in this best of all possible worlds.
All's for the good in
this best of all possible worlds.
Voltaire wrote it very specifically in response to a specific historic event. There was a terrible earthquake in Lisbon.
Well, that earthquake, 1755, I believe, it completely leveled Lisbon.
Yes, and it happened on All Saints' Day when everyone was in church. Various philosophers, and I'm sorry I can't, I believe it was Rousseau, but not the famous Rousseau, wrote a public letter chiding him, saying, "Oh, Monsieur Voltaire, you can't know what God's will was in this." Well, Voltaire was so outraged by that that he wrote Candide as a screed against that way of thinking and of the sort of blaming the victim and excusing social injustice in a way by saying it's all as it was originally intended. I find that that way of thinking serves as an excuse for a lot of injustice and hierarchical ways of proceeding, like the caste system, basically, also.
It's really interesting to me because if I remember correctly, when Bernstein wrote his adaptation of Candide, I mean, it was around the time of the McCarthy hearing. There was that same sort of rejection of the excesses of power.
Of the excesses of power, its questioning of authority, obviously. Everything that's satirized in Candide is about authority and the pretensions of authority and the hypocrisy of authority, without doubt, yes.
Well, I wonder because a while ago I had a great conversation with the actor F. Murray Abraham when he was in town doing Shylock in The Merchant of Venice.
Yes.
And, you know, he was telling me how it was such a unique experience for him to be playing that character in this day and age because audiences were bringing their own stories into the theater.
It's very complex, yeah.
And about injustice, about usury, the whole thing. And so I wonder, is that very much part of this production? Because there has been such an unrelenting, economic and political challenge to American optimism.
Yes. I feel that when I started work on this, I'll be brutally honest, things have shifted a little over the last 2 years or two and a half since I first, thought I was going to maybe do this. But I felt in the country a bit of recoil from this American optimism that our American democracy is self-evidently the best way to run the world and that we only need to go into whatever foreign country we desire and people will bow down to it, as they should, because it's the best of all possible worlds. Why not?
I read an article in a Chicago paper, because you staged and performed this last year in Chicago, right?
About this time last year, yeah.
That's right, September.
Yeah.
And you were quoted as saying that maybe you'd never had so much attention given to a production before it opens as you have had, or you had for Candide. Now, why do you think that is?
People who are interested in musicals are very, very interested in this musical. Its rep in the world is unbelievably great music. Book doesn't quite work. That's been the kind of rap on this. And then they're comparing it to other Bernstein musicals as opposed to every other musical. I mean, you're comparing it to West Side Story. You're comparing it to these things which are so iconic. And, I'm sure someone's in rehearsal for every other of his musical, ever written as we speak somewhere.
Is this the first time you've directed a musical?
It is the first time I've directed a musical. And it has been so much fun. I'm like, where's this been all my life? Oh, this is what people like. They like musicals. Now I understand. It's actually been kind of discouraging. I've slaved away on my funny but also sort of serious, straight plays for so long. And then as soon as you're humming a happy tune and dancing, I mean, the whole world joins in. It's really been interesting to me, and I want to do more.
Well,
for
I think that's what's one of the most interesting things about the fact that Bernstein decided to make a musical out of Candide, because he's taking one of the most sort of inherently joyful theatrical forms of expression to a book, which, as we were talking about, is satirical, savage, difficult.
But the lovers do end up together, so people forget that the entire second half of the novel, Candide's new companion is Martin, also a philosopher, who believes it's the worst of all possible worlds and that everything will betray you and that nothing will turn out. And I think that is a place where the novel comes to rest. And people who think that Make Our Garden Grow, the final work of extreme gorgeousness of this musical, is too sunny, too beautiful. that song is led into by a line of Martin's that is decrying sarcastically, "Behold the harmony of man." In other words, there's no harmony among men. And then what happens is Bernstein writes a song which is the most harmonically gorgeous song. And even though the lyrics are melancholy, "We're neither pure nor wise nor good," what makes it so beautiful is that while lamenting the frailty and flaws in human beings, they're actually performing the very best thing that human beings have come up with, which is this music.
"We're neither pure nor wise nor good. We'll do the best we know."
Mary Zimmerman directs the new adaptation of Leonard Bernstein's Candide. It's being performed by the Huntington Theater Company through October 16th. And there is much more information at our website, radioboston.org.
Next time on Radio Boston, the New York Times calls him the mad scientist of smut, acclaimed literary novelist Nicholson Baker on sex and his new novel, House of Holes.
Also, violin virtuosa Anna Sophie Mutar prepares to play and conduct the complete Mozart violin concertos with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. That's next week on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us next week for more Radio Boston.